from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This kid has been on fire today.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Lawyer step back three, right wing. Yes!
Penn pulls the upset.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg. Coming up, comedian Derek Stroop. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We would like to chat with you. We got a whole hour open. Lots to discuss here on this busy Monday, right in the middle of March. We've got brackets on both the men's and women's side. Chris Brockman has already opened a Rich Eisen Show bracket challenge for everyone to join. So just go to your ESPN brackets on ESPN.com. The bracket challenge, put in Rich Eisen Show, no spaces. Join. If you win, you get free bags, a swag bag here.
We're up to eight. We're already at eight people. Look at us.
We're on a roll. We must be butter.
Congrats, everyone.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a second. There was an NFL trade today.
Sure was.
Justin Fields has been traded by the Jets to the Chiefs.
Hey.
For a sixth-round pick next year.
Okay.
And the Jets cover seven of the $10 million Justin Fields was owed this year. And the Chiefs get a backup quarterback for $3 million. And potentially even, a starter if Mahomes is not ready. As Tom Pelissero points out, the Jets effectively offset both the cash and pick they gave up to get Geno. Remember, they gave up a pick to get Geno.
Right.
And also needed to pay some of Geno's salary and of the money that they're saving on Justin Fields, it pays for Geno's salary because the Raiders are picking up $16 million of Geno's darn near 20. And so Geno's gone from the Raiders. He's on the Jets, and the Jets send Justin Fields packing. And in case you're wondering how he might fare if, say, Mahomes is not ready week one, you're like, that would be a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. Justin Fields can play week one, guys. Week one last year for the New York Jets, his first start as a Jet, that's when everybody's thinking, boy, the Jets made a smart move, giving Justin Fields a shot, taking him from the Pittsburgh quarterback room and saying, you're our guy, we're going to take a smart bet on you, pay you what the Dolphins are paying Malik Willis this year, and we'll give you the starting reins. And he, Justin Fields, week one for the Jets against the Steelers, 16-22 for 218 yards and one score, and he ran to win. He was a three-touchdown monster.
Yeah, had a huge game.
And the Jets had that thing all in a bag until they let Aaron Rodgers march down the field close enough for a game-winning field goal from their assassin of a kicker. And the Steelers beat the Jets.
Serial killer kicker.
Yeah, yeah. What Mike Tomlin called. How about that? Mike Tomlin, Steelers win that one, and Justin Fields and the Jets and barely lose it, and Justin Fields fell apart. Tomlin takes the Steelers to the playoffs, and he leaves anyway. And by the way, when Tomlin employed Justin Fields as a week one starter, don't forget, he started week one for two teams. in two different years the last 2 years. He started week one for the Jets last year. And Russell Wilson, if you recall, because for some reason they had him using a tackling sled in the summer. Remember, Fields got the first six starts there.
He was 4-2.
He was 4-2, and he won week one at Atlanta, where supposedly the Falcons were coveting Fields. Remember that? Until they didn't go get him, and the Steelers did, and they used him 17-23. And he also had 57 yards rushing. Steelers won that one. So is it possible Justin Fields starts week one three straight years for three different teams? It's entirely possible. And the Chiefs are deciding this is a kid that we can use. And if you're Justin Fields, you can sit in the same quarterback room as Patrick Mahomes and have Andy Reid whisper in your ear and have Eric Bieniemy, you know, MF you up and down and try to coach you hard. So that's what he does. What a great spot for him to land in.
Yeah, I said that this morning. If there's a reclamation project for him, it's a great place to go, right?
And for the Chiefs, who lose Gardner Minshew to Arizona, it's not a bad option. Again, he went 4-2 in Pittsburgh before Russell took the reins back. And last year, as we all know, unmitigated disaster. That's the issue here, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not be completely peaches and cream here. It was a total complete disaster for Justin Fields and the Jets. Totally incomplete, where Aaron Glenn, you know, decides to go with Tyrod Taylor at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Justin Fields started weeks 1-10, and then we didn't see him anymore. And he missed week 3 when Tyrod Taylor came in, and they almost beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers anyway. And he didn't have Garrett Wilson healthy. The only thing he had was Breece Hall and very little else. So totally a total disaster for him. Let him go to Kansas City and do his best to restart. And if you're the Chiefs, there are worse options than to start Justin Fields for a couple weeks. All you got to do is go 1-1, and it's better than the way they started last year. Seriously. 844-204-RICH, number two. And Jet fans, listen, they're cutting their losses one after another, hoping that there's going to be more wins than losses compared to the year before. And at the end of the day, their next quarterback is in college. Geno Smith is just the bridge to get you to the next year's draft. Let's go to the phone lines here. Bronco in Las Vegas, Nevada. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Bronco?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the Jets will not be finding their next quarterback from the University of Iowa. We have to figure out some offense on that side of the ball, but we have a pretty good squad if we look at our defense and special teams.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't figure out how we can never get that offense dialed in. It's a shame. Hey, Rich.
Hey,
how are you?
Okay, Bronco. I feel like this is a therapy session.
I'm calling from Vegas, and so I do want to ask your opinion on Iowa in the basketball tournament. But before I do that, I also wanted to say I also don't think people should sleep on the UCLA women. They beat Iowa's women's team by 40.
I was in the building
twice this year.
I was in the building for the one in Pauley Pavilion, the one in Westwood. UCLA has absolutely the players to take this thing down. There's no question about it. And if it's UCLA versus UConn at the end of the day for a national championship game, sign me up for that one. So you're talking about the Iowa women as opposed to the Iowa men is what you're talking about.
Well, I need to talk about the Iowa men. So Iowa men are interesting to me. I've watched not only every game, but every minute of every game all season. And, so assuming they beat Clemson, which is a huge assumption, but I think Iowa's a tough nine in the tourney. They would, you know, more than likely get Florida in the second round. And I'm trying to wedge out a path and wondering what you guys think. When I look at Iowa, you know, they went into Ames. They lost to Iowa State by 4. Led that game by 17 in the first half. They took Nebraska to overtime the last game of the season in Lincoln. And they played your Wolverines really tough in Iowa City. I don't know if you saw that game.
I did. You know, listen, and Michigan's been challenged quite a bit over the last month plus in a way that they weren't in the first 2-3 months of the season. And I appreciate the call, Bronco. Thank you bringing a little Iowa love here as opposed to just Terzo and Iowa doing that. Listen, it's a crapshoot. You take on Clemson, and then you got to take on Florida if you're Iowa. I mean, the toughest path. I can't believe Duke got this path.
Yeah.
All right. You know,
I think the number one overall seed to have this type of competition in their region is kind of unheard of.
I think Liam in Las Vegas wants to chime in on that because it should be no surprise. We just came in, I believe, on the air in our ESPN radio affiliate in Las Vegas, Nevada. What's up, Liam?
Hey, guys. First of all, I was listening to you guys for Sour as I was driving in Vegas, so that was good. But I was talking about Duke earlier with some friends, and Duke has the hardest road to the Final Four. They got a horrible draw. Like,
agreed.
There could be multiple chances in each round, first round, second round, and Sweet 16 that they could lose. I'm just reading up on ESPN's picks for each game, and they have them exiting at, let me see, they have them exiting at the Elite Eight, and I think that is a fair thing.
Listen, I appreciate the call, Liam. Thanks so much.
L-I-M.
Duke's draw is absurd. And again, anybody can beat anybody in the NCAA tournament, with the exception, one would think, of 16 versus the 1, although Michigan might have to take on UMBC, which is raising their hand saying, remember us?
Hey!
But Duke's first opponent, other than after Siena, is either TCU or Ohio State. I have not seen TCU play. I have seen Ohio State play as recently as this past week against Michigan in their Big Ten tournament action. They're good. They can show up and give Duke a game. That is for sure. Outside of that, Kansas and St. John's is in the bracket below them. Did you watch St. John's play in the Big East championship game
nice.
Against UConn? I mean, Patino has them working it.
They're all part vampire.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I know you like saying that about Patino. And then in the lower part of the bracket, it's UConn and Michigan State are the 2 and 3. That's nuts. That is nuts for the number one overall seed. And you just got to sit there and wonder, like, hey, what are we doing if you're in the selection room? Like, at some point, do you take one of the 2 through 5s and swap them out for somebody else? You know? And Michigan State, you know, they're in the same building as Michigan, by the way, in Buffalo, New York.
Nice.
So there's going to be a bunch of people going from, I don't know, maybe they go through Canada. I have no idea. That's rife these days. But these are Duke got hosed. There's no other way to put it. Duke absolutely got hosed. But they wind up, they start in South Carolina, and then they wind up in Washington, D.C., where their favorite refs live. You know, and they have a good feeling from that game against Michigan when Michigan had to take on 8 people that day. But those boozers can play, man. And I mean that literally, obviously not figuratively. They are really, really good. They're gonna have to be, because I honestly would think that the team with the top seed would get the easiest draw out of all the 1 seeds, and I think they got the toughest by far. By far. And that's why, again, the selection committee's got to sit there, stare at the board and say, before we lock this, shouldn't we take one of these 2 through 5s and swap them out for a different region? Maybe not Michigan State, because Michigan State's 3, or UConn, you're not going to take them out of the East, right? I mean, you could take Kansas. You gave St. John's the East. Although St. John's first game in the Eastern bracket is just down the road in San Diego.
So it's not like they're getting a home.
They're not.
Type of home game there.
They're not. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take more of your phone calls right here. I've got an interesting question to ask you about United States sports.
Oh,
writ large, what we're seeing.
Okay.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere and get on our bracket challenge already on ESPN.com.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service expert. In my line of work, I'm fortunate enough to travel quite a bit covering the biggest moments through the football season. While I'm on the road, I sometimes miss the comforts of home, which is why when I travel with my family, we always check Airbnb for places to stay. It's our home away from home, providing the comfort and safety that allows us to wind down and relax. Families like mine are looking for homes that fit their needs to make new memories in, and your home may be exactly what they're looking for. If you're looking to save up for a new addition to your house or a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see your favorite band in another country, for instance, hosting your house on Airbnb could help you reach those goals. It's easy to list your home for short trips or extended periods of time, allowing your house to earn you some extra money. Make your home work for you while you're away and enjoy the benefits of hosting on Airbnb. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's go to David in Richmond, Virginia. We'll take your call. What's up, David?
Hey, Rich. How you doing,
What's going on, bud? Thanks for calling.
Listen, thanks for taking my call. It's always great when I get in and I get to hear your voice and also the voices of the phenomenal team behind you.
Thank you.
I just don't want anybody, and I know this is maybe wishful thinking, but I don't want anybody sitting on VCU in this tournament. VCU's got a very, very, very good defense. The only problem that they have is they can get 17 and 18 points up in front of somebody and then make you nervous that they're going to win the game. But they have a very, very good team, and back in 2011, under Shaka Smart, they made the Final Four. So don't sit on this team, and I think if they can get past North Carolina, who is without their best player, I think they can at least get to the Sweet 16, maybe the Great 8.
Thank you for the call. A little VCU love. We've gotten some VCU love, some Iowa love. That's what the NCAA tournament's all about. Could you imagine on a city guy, they have no chance? Because you know that's not true. I mean, to win it all, if you make the Sweet 16 in the end, thanks for the call, David. If you make the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, that is a massive success. Unless you're one of the top, unless you're a one seed, then you got to go further than that, right? Only one team cuts down the nets. But if VCU goes and wins round one against North Carolina and beats the winner of Illinois and Penn, that's a heck of a season for Virginia Commonwealth University. Would you not say?
I mean, winning the first game, I think, is a huge accomplishment.
No doubt. Penn winning the Ivy League. Did you see how that thing went down? You'd think that an Ivy League institution would play
smart
basketball. But Penn down 3, Yale could have just fouled before a 3 gets taken, and a 3 got taken. Forced overtime, Penn, yada, yada, yada. Penn's going to the NCAA tournament. And you know they only get one. Ivy League only gets one.
Right. Yep.
That's the end of that. You want to chime in on the Miami stuff? Miami of Ohio? I mean, we haven't watched them play a lick all year. So I just look and I go, 31 wins counts for something. Let's see, you know, the fact that they got bounced in their tournament.
They kind of
one loss.
They kind of needed to win that thing.
I get it. I know the Ken Pom, this, that, the other thing. And then there's Auburn people saying, you know, we won this, we won that. It's just like, hey, you didn't win enough.
You know, I'm 31.
31 wins. 31 yeah. wins is a significant accomplishment.
It should count for something.
And has to. And let them play in.
They got
to play in.
Yeah.
They're going to play in.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
They're playing it. They're playing in it against SMU. And if they don't win that, but how many times do you say this team doesn't deserve to make it? And then they wind up in the Sweet 16. As a matter of fact, your institution of higher learning, your alma mater, is the kings of, yeah, they didn't have a great season. And then the matchup zone sends them to the Elite Eight.
True.
How many times have we say that in the history of this show?
They've had a
why does Syracuse deserve to make it? Just because they're Syracuse, that they don't deserve to make it. And oh, wait a minute, they're beating the crap out of everybody because nobody sees the matchup zone the way that Boeheim used to run it.
We've had a few surprise Final Four runs.
Heck yeah, you have.
Not
saying Miami of Ohio is going to do that, but
I know I'm going to what I'm about to say. I'm in the minority here, but I hate these first four games. I think it should just be 64. Tough, 64 teams. This is the bracket. It's the way it's always been. Get rid of these first four games.
Yeah.
Until I don't care.
You're not going to watch them?
I do not care.
I know Tuesday night you're not going to watch them because the World Baseball Classic is on. I get it.
None of these teams are going to win the national championship. I hate to break it to them. They have no chance. Okay? What are we doing? What do we need more? Well, then less is more.
Then let's be honest. There's
less
probably
more.
40 teams that are not going to win the national championship.
But that's
but
not
the
what
whole
it's
idea
about.
Of the bracket is 64. There's that all fits on one. Okay. What do we need 8 extra teams for?
There's two reasons to watch the NCAA tournament. The overarching one is who's going to win it all. Right.
They both involve gambling.
Who's going to cut down the nets? That's number one. And then number two is the buzzer beaters of the schools that have never made it before or rarely make it and pop the bubbles or the glass slipper fits, the Bryce Drew moments. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we watch. That's why we watch the tournament. How many, honestly, everyone's just taking a throwing darts at a board with their brackets. But if they're right, you feel like you're the most knowledgeable sports fan on the planet, but you also want to see the Miami of Ohio's make it and then ruin someone else's season before, you know, they turn back into a pumpkin, because at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, there's more talented teams. Again, I'm watching Michigan basketball. Last few tournaments have been, you know, awesome for Michigan to just make it and suddenly seem to have a chance, more than a snowball's chance, right, to try and go on a run. The beeline years, they were incredible. Now I'm going to be white-knuckling the first few because they're a one seed, and the whole season is going to come down to a 40-minute night or afternoon. And when you're the one seed, you've got to make the Elite Eight at the very least.
Very least. Michigan has the second best odds. They should make the Final Four.
I know what the odds are, but I also watched a Purdue team with three guys that have been playing together forever. You know, the center that was taking care of Michigan yesterday, he's 24. You know, and we just saw Indiana win a national championship in football with a bunch of guys that have been playing for a long time. So I have no idea who's out there. You know, Michigan might face in the second game from St. Louis is that kid from Indiana State that everybody's been talking about for years. You know, that Robbie Avila kid. You know that? His nickname is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Larry Nerd because of his glasses, which is terrible.
Yeah. Larry Nerd.
It seems like
he's, you know what I mean? Like,
Larry Nerd is really funny.
I was watching all of his Indiana State highlights, and I'm like, oh, this kid's a lot of fun. Until I've got to try and take care of him if he takes care of Georgia. You know what I mean?
Steph Blurry.
All those nicknames. It's funny until, you know, wait a minute.
Milk Chamberlain?
Milk Chamberlain could knock Michigan out if Georgia doesn't take care of him first.
What a story that would be.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we watch the tournament.
I mean, here in the studio.
Except for me, I've been watching the tournament the last few years is hoping Michigan is that story. Now, Michigan's got to be the story.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that. I'd love to get used to being used to that. But that's why we watch the tournament. That's why the first four matters, Chris, because these teams could go on a little bit of a run. They win three games in a row. They're popping two teams that have chances that think they could go on deep runs. That's why we watch the tournament, is for those last second moments. We saw them nonstop over the weekend. You know, it lights up your phone. You're like, the number of times that I would not care about hitting a college basketball alert over the last 2-3 months because I'm locked into football. I was watching every one of them because it just, you watch how much it means to them. That's what I said to start the show, why the World Baseball Classic's so great, the Olympics so great, the World Cup so great. You know, you're watching the ladies in FIBA right now because it means more to you maybe, and it means more to the athletes you connect and watching. And that's what the tournament's about. So that's why the first four matters. Who's going to make these Cinderella runs, burst the bubbles of the teams that feel like they could finally win it all or win it all again? And then the question of who wins it all again? Speaking of the Olympics, Gus Ramsey, friend of the program.
Hmm. Gus.
One of the best SportsCenter producers of all time. He also, I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, runs Dan Patrick's Full Sail University School of Broadcasting still.
Yep.
So he's in the family. I'm in his family. He's in
family.
Exactly. I think he also I know. He worked with Stu Scott in the Orlando days. So he goes way back with Stuart, more than me. But I bring this up because he texted me this before the program, and I always appreciate it. He's always thinking of content. He's always thinking of content, certainly for this show, and I appreciate it. He sent me this text. If the U.S. wins Tuesday night and the men's soccer team were to reach the quarters or semis of the World Cup, would this be the greatest year in U.S. sports history? Talk amongst yourselves. Based on what we saw with the women and the men's in that order, winning gold in hockey, right?
They won three.
The Paralympians just won it, correct? Yep. Yeah, gold.
Feels like without question,
right? Because and that we would see the WBC won by the United States first time since 2017, which is not an Olympic year. This would be a World Cup year, and a WBC year, and an Olympic year.
Feels like even if Team USA loses the WBC. Just to have the men's soccer team go to the quarters
of the semis in the World Cup.
Oh my God, that would push it over the top because you know that's something that is extremely rare. Maybe only happened once.
You don't think Team USA's got to get their revenge on our espresso friends and or Venezuela
to make it the greatest U.S. year ever? No, I don't think so.
Just making it this far?
I think making it this far, making it to the final. See, it's a one-run game, but the soccer going that far, I think, pushes it over the top. Because that, you know, we're so far behind. We should win baseball, right? We should win some of these other sports. Soccer? Not our sport. To go that far is a massive upset, and I think it would be the icing on the cake.
And then hockey, not our sport when you've got our neighbors to the north, our friends.
Taking it back.
Although we kind of own them.
Yep.
Well, in the last year, right? Well, last runs at it.
The last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup was?
I got you.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
TJ, you want to chime in on this?
About the I'm sitting here trying to think. That's a great question.
Well, Gus only asks those.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too hard for me just seeing that 2 minutes go. This is or this isn't.
You'd have to just figure any great year, greatest year ever for the United States in representing the country on national, international stages, okay? Would have to include the Olympics.
Yeah.
All right.
So my mind,
the World Baseball Classic, the last time we won it was not an Olympics year.
Right.
And then to have a World Cup, a WBC,
yep,
and an Olympic year in which the United States men's and women's and Paralympians all won hockey in the Winter Olympics, with all due respect to the other sports. That's the ultimate team Olympic sport, with all due respect to curling or anything else that's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you have the World Baseball Classic, where the United States, one would think, even though they're not defending champs, they're defending the sport that we've created.
Sure.
Correct? Against the world.
But the women's FIBA is going on right now, right?
Right.
Basketball?
Right.
I don't think it's a question.
This would be the greatest year in the history of United States athletics.
Also, it might already be.
Because of that.
What other one would top it? Even if the men's soccer team advances out of group play,
yes,
and loses in the first round, that's still a major accomplishment for that program, considering, you know, where they traditionally are. And the WBC, say it's a one-run game in the finals tomorrow, win or lose, on top of the hockey golds.
Right.
I'm in.
The Women's World Cup is next year in Brazil.
Yeah, so already good.
So the women will not be able to chime in with their usual greatness on that front this year. Okay.
What year was the miracle year against the Soviets?
80.
That's what I said.
Anything else happened that year?
When I think of that, I think my mind just goes to 80, because
that's the last time the men's won gold in hockey.
Right?
But right.
96, that was also a really good Olympic year for America. I mean, what the Bulls won. I mean, I don't know. That's a great question. Sure, I'll just say.
You're not getting multiple.
Based upon what you just got
Team
done saying.
Team USA sure. is winning championships in a season, I don't think.
I guess I won't push back.
I think we're on the launching pad for it. If Chris already thinks we've launched it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial if you have a conversation on that. People are calling in with their upset specials for the brackets. We're happy to take all that. Do you think the World Baseball Classic would be good if it's every 3 years?
It is.
Well, I mean, the last time
they didn't do it in 2020.
That's true. Okay.
And it got moved to 21, which
got it.
We got off of the.
Right.
Okay.
It was supposed to be odd years, 17, 20, 23.
Now I get it. All right.
Yeah.
How about every 2 years? Let's go.
Again, less is more.
I understand
less
that.
Less is more. We don't need the first four. Less is more.
I hear you, but I'm loving this intensity in March.
You love it because you don't see it that often. I think that is a factor.
That could play into it.
Do you know who's starting the Team USA championship game? Your guy. Your Met.
Oh, really?
McLean is starting.
Interesting.
Enola's pitching tonight for Team Italy.
There we go.
I got to be honest, man. I thought DR was winning this whole thing.
Yeah, because we saw them score 10 runs and hit 4 or 5 home runs per game.
Bombs.
The whole tournament.
Bombs.
Nukes.
Yeah. So I got to be honest, I'm a little shocked that that we beat them.
And only scoring 2 runs.
Julio Rodriguez bats, what, 6th, 7th in that lineup? It's kind of stupid. Oh, we didn't even talk about him robbing Aaron Judge of a home run in the
Amazing.
Middle of that game last night.
Oh, right.
He, you know, could have been 3-1, and he robbed him of a home run.
He got a slow play, everybody thinking it was gone.
Judge rounded first and flipped his bat, and then realized it was caught.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the Dominican Republic was going to win this classic as well.
Yeah.
Just felt like they were on such a heater at the plate. You know, like I said, scoring tons of runs,
right.
Mashes. You know, Severino pitched really good last night, too, I thought. Gave up two shots. That was it. 2 solo jacks. I mean, all 3 runs were solo homers, but it's not like we were pounding the ball and putting runners on base.
No.
You know, DR left 8 guys on, multiple
that's what I said.
Guys that, in scoring position.
That's what I said. In the 4th inning, Austin Wells, who, by the way, had an otherwise really good World Baseball Classic, he flied out to end the 4th. Soto into an inning-ending double play in the 5th because he plays for money. And then in the 7th inning, Bednar put a lot of ducks on the pond. Tatis Jr. and Marte struck out. And there it is on the screen. And then the 9th inning, they had a runner on second with 1 out. And Mason Miller was not his usual crisp self. And that's right there is how you let an umpire's
bad call, end your night, end series.
For sure.
And
I
classic.
Mean, I mean, they really probably should have won that game, you know, 4-5-2, but.
I'm sorry. Soto's not completely a mercenary. He really wanted to win.
Everybody does things for money. What are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about?
Oh, have you made your plans yet for Carlos Beltran's uniform
out of retirement? What do we got?
You taking off that day?
I haven't. But you know what? But I, there's one thing.
Can't
I
wait.
There is one thing I so did want to say.
By the way, I asked other Met fan friends about your favorite Beltran moment, and they all said what you said.
Not being the favorite, but
the one where he struck out. My buddy Steve was in the building for that one.
Yeah.
He remembers it.
But you got to look back to Wainwright one of the nastiest pitches of time. Like,
yeah, he's beat a Hall of Famer.
Like, come on.
Swing the bat.
But one thing I did want to say, though, about that is I completely overlooked the fact that Gary Carter's number 8 isn't retired.
Really?
And is that right?
Yeah. And I'd forgotten about that until after we did that segment. And I was like, Gary, kid needs his.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That is right.
Yeah. It's not.
Wow. Who are the Mets numbers retired?
Yeah. We said this last week. It's David Wright, Gil Hodges, Doc, that's Keith Hernandez, Strawberry, Willie Mays, who played like 1 year there, right?
Yeah, but Willie Mays was a. They did it.
24 isn't retired universally across baseball. But
that one I get. Like the Mets getting Willie Mays before his career was up. And Willie is, you know, started. In New
Rushmore
York, and by the way, the Mets logo is a combination of the Giants and the Dodgers.
Yeah,
you know
the color
the color schemes and everything because the Mets have nothing original for them.
Oh my goodness,
at all.
This guy,
at all.
Jerry Kuzman,
and by the way, Willie played in a World Series for the Mets.
Tom Seaver,
and you're looking at it right there against the A's.
Looked like he was called out there.
It does look like he was called out there. And he didn't knock Ray Fosse over, which
probably should,
which would have been on brand.
Ray Fosse.
Or Fosse.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. So.
Those are great A's uniforms. So the Mets do have they have several retired numbers, but not Gary Carter.
Number 8. Gary Carter. So they've got, they don't win the World Series without Gary Carter.
No.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, Keith Hernandez and Doc and Strawberry are totally understandable. I mean, those are the. That's a spine, a backbone of their. So John Franco doesn't have his number retired either? Staten Island's finest?
No.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think his number would be retired?
It's got to be coming.
At some point?
Soon, you know.
David Wright's number retired before Franco.
Did you say Piazza?
Piazza. Well, Piazza. 31's retired.
Piazza's best moment?
Post 9/11.
Without a doubt.
Like that. It's one of the greatest home runs in
ever. I get goosebumps talking about it.
Just even thinking about it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
First game back.
Ugh.
City's back. Baseball's back. America's back. Not broken. And he hit that one a
towering
mile.
Shot.
In a spot that was used as a staging. Shea Stadium was used as staging.
I might watch
for
that
first responders.
Right now.
All right.
Oh, yeah. See, these are. You see where I'm going with this? You can remember moments worthy of number retirements. But number 8 doesn't need to be retired.
Absolutely.
And Franco. If you're going to retire in Beltran,
Carter's got to be first. He's got. I don't know. I'm sure there's.
He's passed away, so I don't know. I don't know who's pounding the table for him.
Yeah, I
know.
Maybe we'll pound the table right now.
We just did.
Number 8.
Come on, Stevie Cohen.
Tired. Kid.
Let's go. What's the big deal?
This Piazza home run is so incredible.
It is incredible. Who do you hit it off of?
I
forget. It was the Braves, right? The Braves were in the house?
It was the Braves.
I remember that.
Number 20, I don't know. It's not anyone of note, I don't believe.
I had to look that up. I don't even remember.
Yeah, Piazza's biggest moment as a Met was right there. And then, of course, daring to throw throw a baseball at Roger Clemens in the World Series.
Oh, Roger Clemens
threw the broken bat at him.
He should have been suspended.
Because he thought it was the baseball.
I know.
It's the most insane reason.
Not, like, it's not rational.
I thought it was. Like, either way you look at it.
I thought it was
throwing
the baseball.
A baseball
Wait,
at him? Dude,
so you were going to throw the ball at him?
I was in the building that night. I was in the building that night. I wrote an article about it for...
The Mag?
For the ESPN The Magazine, nice. Yeah. Because I was strolling around the stadium and the... Oh, my God. This is a wild story. I'll tell it when we come back. It's the craziest story. One of the craziest stories I've had. I'm going to go down memory lane over the next half hour. That's for sure. Because it is my anniversary. today.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 316. Yeah.
844. Yes, it is. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The comedian Derek Stroop is going to be joining us for some fun laughs in hour number three.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on our Rich Eisen Show radio, just talking about a feed with Disney Plus and ESPN. We're just talking about, what if Ayuk stayed? Like, what the hell happened there? What if Brandon Ayuk stayed? Because they had to carry him. Like, he's still on the team, which means they had to carry his cap number.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and it's a massive number.
It's $34 million for this year.
So they're trying to offload him, and another team would be like, yeah, but he's trying to pull that NBA stuff where I'm not coming back. I don't want to come back. I don't want to play for it. Could you imagine if he played for the 49ers again? What happened there? I would love to know.
Well, the injury, right?
Well, I know that, but the fact that he's rehabbing and he's like, still, yeah, I'm not playing for you anymore. And that stupid video of him going 100 miles an hour past the stadium while taking his phone out to record how fast he's going past the stadium.
Seems like he wants to play for Washington and nobody else.
I don't think that,
you know,
that's any secret.
Yeah.
And, you know, why wouldn't Washington want him either, except for the fact he's got a massive price tag, but he also knows how to catch passes from Jaden Daniels, as you all know.
Sure they does.
They were college teammates. But that would be incredible. What a story that would be if he just, at the end of the day, just pulls a Jimmy Garoppolo saying, yeah, I thought we weren't going to hang anymore, but I'm still here. I'll play for you.
I'm not leaving.
Oh, you need me now?
Okay. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event right now and get away with the deal so right it almost feels wrong. Because right now you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid or the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or you can go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. Anthony in Miami, or I believe, if I'm not mistaken, since he's called in before, I believe this is Anthony in Miami, correct?
Yes, Rich, it is.
Okay, what's going on?
I'm going to cover two topics because I only want to start with one, but you guys brought up another with the Mets. As far as I'm concerned, Mets should absolutely be retiring Gary Carter's number because he deserves it.
Yep.
At the same time, Johan Santana would be another one that could be retired.
Yeah.
John Matlack would be another one that could be retired.
That's old school there. You're going back to the 70s there. Johan Santana, because he was the first Met to throw a no-hitter? That's why? That's it?
Well, he was pretty good for the Mets, except for the injuries.
He went high register.
You know, yeah. I mean, he got overworked because the manager did not know how to take care of his arm.
Okay.
But, yeah, he had a good career with the Mets. He had a...
Okay.
Good record, great ERA.
Okay.
Excellent strikeout to walk ratio.
All right. And you have a team to watch for in your bracket? You got a bracket buster for me, Anthony?
St. John's.
Got
to go with the Red Storm. I mean, Rich, in the rich history of the Big East tournament,
yes,
St. John's this weekend was the only team in its history to not trail by a single point at any point in the tournament.
Wow.
With the history of the Big East, for this St. John squad under Rick Pitino to do that with their suffocating defense, I actually have picked them to win it all.
That kid, Zubi Ejiofor, was unstoppable in the Big Ten, I mean, in the Big East championship game that I watched against UConn.
The
unstoppable.
The only problem, Anthony, with that is this. The number five seed has never won the NCAA.
Yeah, that's all right. A six seed has.
Love that stat.
But I'm just saying.
That's okay. That's okay. St. John's can do it this year because this is by far the best defensive team St. John's has ever had. We've had some great offensive teams with the Chris Mullen, Walter Berry, Mark Jackson era.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the best defensive teams. And as Bill Parcells taught us with the Giants, what wins championships? Defense.
Defense.
And timely scoring. Mm-hmm. St. John's has that. They gave UConn a fight in the game they lost to UConn. So this is a St. John's team that is worth watching. And I absolutely believe will win the NCAA tournament this year.
Oh, Anthony Ooh. In Miami, top roping it. Thank you for the call.
Said it with his chest.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Oh. Yeah, they pounded UConn. John's they destroyed right. UConn this weekend. Destroyed him. It wasn't even close.
St. John's 100-1, Anthony. Get it down.
It's Anthony.
I hope he put some scratch on
that. But St. John's, if I'm not mistaken, was a two seed last year and got they got one and done, didn't they?
They won.
Or two and done.
They won.
They were two and done. Highly disappointed.
Yeah, they were
last
year. Very, very disappointed.
But this year, they honestly, I was stunned they were a five seed. I know they lost six games and they're a Big East team. But UConn wound up a two seed and they got smoked in Madison Square Garden on Saturday. I watched that one too. Watched a lot of college basketball this weekend.
Attaboy.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a professional. I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. Knew I'd be talking about it on today's program. The comedian Derek Stroop is in our green room. All fresh as a daisy, coming out here in about 20 minutes' time.
I watched him this weekend.
That's good.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.